that are causing colds and flu-like symptoms, etc., not just COVID, but make you stronger no matter what you're faced in life. Mm-hmm. Isn't that worth supporting the station? I think it is.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. We have to leave it right there. Covert Action Bulletin with Chris Garoppa and Rachel Hu. We'll be back next week, next Wednesday at 9 a.m. It's 10 o'clock here in New York City. Please stay tuned for the upcoming program, Ecologic. Looking forward to it. Please stay tuned.
Pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at our new time. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for Wednesday, July 19th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Ecologic has been on WBAI for 21 years at various time slots, daytime and evenings. Those of you who moved with us from our recent 6 a.m. Saturday slot will notice a slightly different guest list. More national organizations, artists and musicians. And this time slot allows us now to bring some kids on to talk with you as we did when we had a morning slot in 2002 and 2003. We'll still have time to take your call-ins, and we'd love to hear from listeners.
Ecologic is known for covering important environmental news, information, and solutions-oriented things you can do, as well as our Celebration of Nature and Connect the Dots series. Today, we'll introduce ourselves and then talk about victories and solutions to environmental problems, including art and activism, commercial solar net metering, bike lanes, urban gardens, Liberty State Park, the Green Amendment, wildlife crossings, and how to stop them Heltec from dumping radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River.
We are part of an ecologic collective of environmental activists and experts who bring ideas for shows and sometimes join us on the air. I'm Ken Gale. I started Ecologic in 2002. I've been an environmentalist most of my life. I started out as a birder and nature lover, still am, and have been a major part of a number of environments and successes I can be proud of, such as helping to stop uranium mining near New York City's Catskill Reservoirs, helping get New York's commercial net metering law passed in 2008, which has saved thousands of megawatts in electricity, enough to power over a million homes in the first 10 years alone. I'm the author of Chernobyl on the Hudson and an eco-horror story in an anthology comic book, and I maintain Ecologic's website, www.ecoradio.org.
And I'm Donna Stein. I am active with New York City Friends of Clearwater and Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, and I'm on the board of directors of both. I have been a grassroots activist since I was a teenager with a focus on anti-war, the environment, and human rights issues. Another passion of mine is kayaking every chance I get, especially kayaktivism.
I'm Sally Gellert, your New Jersey co-host. I'm a member of Radical Elders, InterOccupy, Democracy Watch News, and a longtime environmentalist. I'm a co-chairperson of Unitarian Universalist for a Just Economic Community. I've been working with Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition since 2011, and now I'm part of the National Radioactive Waste Coalition. I see myself as a connector of groups working on diverse issues.
For the first Ecologic at this new time slot, we're going to focus on victories and solutions to environmental problems. There are many environmental issues to deal with, and on Ecologic, we try to deal with as many as we can and always give solutions, and we strive to celebrate our victories. Our Celebration of Nature series explores species with whom we share this planet. Our Connect the Dots series shows the connections between multiple issues.
We discussed other victories with Bill DiPaola on our June 17th show. Bike lanes, auto-free zones, protected urban gardens, pedicabs, youth-oriented environmental groups, and the Green Amendment success in Montana. Some victories are often taken for granted. Bike lanes, for example. There are untold thousands of bicycle commuters in New York City, but people get arrested for advocating bike lanes? Come on. Some of you might remember Mayor Koch and the police department were dead set against bike lanes. Crazy.
At one time, the New York City government was ready to destroy every urban garden, starting with the Lower East Side. Public resistance stopped it. But again, people got arrested and some gardens were destroyed, such as Adam Purple's Garden of Eden. People took things into their own hands and turned abandoned lots filled with rubble into food and flowers.
I want to take a minute to talk about art and activism. Throughout the history of activism, art has shown the ability to get ideas across powerfully. My own activism was strongly influenced by a poster that struck me in high school. It was the iconic "And Babies" poster of the Vietnam My Lai Massacre. I still get choked up thinking about it. It was created by the Art Workers Coalition, AWC, a group of New York City artists who opposed the war, from a photo by U.S. combat photographer Ronald Haberle in 1968. AWC was a grassroots network of volunteer artists, students, and peace activists who began circulating it globally. It was a defining image of the My Lai Massacre and U.S. war crimes in Vietnam. I still get teary-eyed seeing it and reading about it. My path was clear from that point forward, in college and beyond. Even before that, the art form of music influenced me and a whole generation of youth as I listened to Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie songs around the campfire at 9 years old with my banjo-playing camp counselor. That counselor went on to later produce the first Earth Day poster in 1970, then called Earth Week, for the environmental movement at the University of Pittsburgh. Fast forward and skipping a few steps, the Occupy movement inspired artists, puppeteers, photojournalists, videographers, who all helped get across the message that we were trying to convey. Occupy inspired radio producers as well. The halls of WBAI were buzzing. I participated in street theater, sign making, and banner drops that got the attention of media. I am grateful to all the great artists who lend their talents to making democratic change. A few to mention: Ken Fratchik, Eric McGregor, Monica Hunkin, Seth Tobachman, Apollo, Charles Olson, John Duffy, Pete Seeger and Peter Yarrow included. I apologize to those I didn't mention. Sorry, guys. Getting into the public eye may be so important. It's any way we can. People getting heard has made a difference.
Speaking of people making a difference, two things happened in 2007 that seemed unconnected at the time but turned out to be closely linked. One, the New York Independent Systems Operator, NYISO, the organization that safeguards the electricity grid and makes sure there's always enough electricity, predicted in 2007 that in 10 years, New York State would need 35,000 megawatts of electricity at peak times. Peak times are when the most electricity is used during heat waves when air conditioning use is highest. And two, J.K. Canepa, with myself and others, started the New York Climate Action Group. And we were hoping to have J.K. join us.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Ah, good.
Okay. Oh, it's always like that on radio. Hi, this is J.K. Canepa and NYCAG. I'm part of this terrific network of activists of the Ecologic Collective, and I pop in when I can. NYCAG, we formed in 2007, thanks to John Seed, the noted deep ecologist, Rainforest Information Center activist in Australia. And we focused on two major aspects of climate chaos. One was the use of tropical timber by New York City, largest purchaser and user of tropical timber in North America. We used it for boardwalks, park benches, ferry pilings, and other places. We got the city to stop purchasing rainforest woods after much work and alongside our wonderful colleague Tim Keating and Rainforest Relief, his organization. Our other win, the one that Ken was alluding to, was to fill the void of left by the inactivity of one of the best New York City environmental groups of the earliest 20th century, the Neighborhood Energy Network, NEN, an organization oriented toward local solutions to global climate change, educating and advocating for solar energy, for cutting energy waste through and using energy efficiency in our buildings. So NYCAG's first major action on that task was a way of continuing the work of NEN, putting together a solar panel of experts to identify policy impediments to growing the solar industry in New York. So we had four installers, one from Brooklyn, one from Queens, and two from Manhattan. And the number one issue for all four of them was commercial net metering. You know, solar panels on big box stores. Net metering is where if you have solar panels and they make more electricity than you use, the excess is put into the grid and your meter runs backward. It lowers everyone's electric bill because expensive and filthy methane peaker plants don't need to come online. A peaker plant is brought in when the energy is demand is higher than the grid can handle. Through New York, though New York was the second state in the union to have net metering way back in the 70s, it wasn't permitted for commercial buildings as a sort of compromise with utilities who don't like competition from the sun.
For years, a commercial net metering bill was proposed by the Sierra Club Atlantic chapter of the New York Solar Energy Industry Association, NYSEA. It would pass in the Democratic Party-controlled New York State Assembly and die in the Republican State Senate. The split New York legislature didn't foster bipartisan agreements, no, but rather inactivity and dysfunction. For many people around the U.S. who analyze state governments, New York's legislature was a laughing stock of how not to govern a state. It also gave a disproportionate amount of power to each governor, no matter which political party they were from. So, no commercial solar net metering.
Yeah, so our event took place in the Quaker Friends Meeting House in the Gramercy Park section of Manhattan back in January 2008. Due to scheduling, we only had 4 weeks to plan it, and we packed the meeting house. Over 200 people attended our event, and we urged people to contact their state senators and assembly members to get commercial net metering, mentioning the effects of on the carbon footprint of New York State, but emphasizing the thousands of jobs that would be created to install their solar panels. We urged them to spread the word, and they sure did. Videographer Pam Timmons recorded what would be a historic event.
2 weeks later, I called NYSEA and urged them to get their folks upstate to contact their state senators and assembly members again, because we are pushing from New York City. I know, he told me. All they're talking about in Albany is solar. you really started something down there.
Yay.
In June, the bill was passed by both houses. In fact, the Republican state Senate supported it nearly unanimously, better than the state assembly did. The bill was signed into law in August. While they were at it, the Senate also gave New York City a solar property tax abatement, which was mentioned at our solar forum, but we decided to emphasize the net metering. So in 2008, the year after the NYISO prediction, we got commercial net metering in New York. Many large installations are put up every year, thousands of jobs. And with solar usually comes efficiency. The less electricity a person or company with solar panels uses or wastes, the more their solar-generated electricity will go into the electricity grid, and they get paid for that.
Yeah. So in 2017, New York only needed 30,000 megawatts of electricity at the peak. NYISO said the difference between their 35,000 megawatt prediction and actual use, the drop was due to solar energy and energy efficiency. So that's 5,000 megawatts. That's a lot of efficiency and a lot of solar, the equivalent of 5 nuclear power plants. According to Green Building Advisor, 5,000 megawatts can power more than 1 million homes. Some of that 5,000 megawatts of electricity simply came from people getting more efficient lighting and more efficient appliances like LEDs, but much of it came from commercial net metering. Less energy use means less burning of methane, which means cleaner air and water, which means healthier air and water, which means healthier people, animals, and the green world.
It's interesting that hardly anyone knows it happened, never mind that the members of NYCAG get anything to do with it. Didn't do it for the credit. But it's nice to know that in that matter, we had a long-lasting effect. We have a legacy we can be proud of. Making Solar Happen in New York City is a 3-DVD set with the January 2008 panel of 4 solar installers I just mentioned telling us how to grow the solar industry, with the arguments that convinced the legislators to pass the bill that had been introduced so often without results. That panel led directly to commercial solar net metering in New York. This package also includes an Ecologic episode about solar and the policy changes that were and still are needed to achieve independent and free electricity. It includes our guest conversations that continued after the show, because once they got going, they couldn't stop. That's a $90 donation for the 3 DVDs. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org to get your copy of Solar in the City and help the station stay on the air. A total of 7 solar experts explain the potential for solar energy that we have today and the policies that were needed. Still are. That's 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org for your copy of Solar in the City.
I'm impressed that our show and a panel that we planned with NYCAG was able to have such a direct effect, cutting through a bureaucratic logjam in Albany. That is why we need your support. That is why we all need to support Ecologic. That is why we need to support WBAI. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 now.
This is a perfect example of what committed activists can do, and Ecologic was part of the organizing effort. All of the members of the panel had previously been on Ecologic. This is the kind of programming you are supporting with your donation dollars.
Speaking of activism, the main factor that led to beneficial permitting for solar energy on Long Island was the work of people who shut down the Shore Nuclear Plant and replaced the anti-solar Long Island Lighting Company with the pro-solar Long Island Power Authority, LIPA. As a result, Long Island has more solar panels per person than probably any other 2 counties in America. During the efforts to close Shoreham, all the organizations had a different focus: lobbying, writing, civil disobedience, legal work, whatever a person was comfortable doing. There was a group doing that, and it was understood that multiple strategies and tactics were needed. Groups would publicize each other's events, even if they were not participating, saying, well, we don't do that, but check out this activity by, and then mention another group. It was beautiful network. Not this, we do this and nothing else. We don't work with those folks. But everyone realizing they needed each other. It was never just one strategy. It took all of them.
One great example of a recent victory is the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, NJDEP, decision about Liberty State Park. The New Jersey State Park, right behind the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island, on Jersey City shore of Hudson River. It looked like the New Jersey government had aligned with one billionaire who wanted to privatize one of the most popular parks in the United States and destroy precious wildlife habitat. A battle between a country club golf course and a heliport versus picnicking areas and soccer fields. How often do the people and wildlife win a contest like that? Well, Liberty State Park has won.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge when the NJDEP gets something right, as they definitely have done with Liberty State Park. Recent reports on the money fighting the public on the issues are eye-opening. So Commissioner Sean LaTourette and his team get extra points for withstanding the onslaught. Hudson County is the most congested county in the United States, and the park attracts 5 million visitors annually, more than Yellowstone or Yosemite. The Star-Ledger says, New Jersey's most popular meeting venue, a sacred space of history, community, and majesty, is about to become grander, and it's all because the good guys finally won.
Yay.
Yay, Star-Ledger.
Opposing the natural space plans of the DEP are two groups pretending to be grassroots, but not. Funded by Reebok billionaire Paul Fireman, we know this because 2001 tax information forms, 990s, were recently released. The Jersey Journal and the Star-Ledger both weighed in with observations about the expenditures. The Paul and Phyllis Fireman Foundation in 2021 donated to the People's Park Foundation, PPF, just over $1 million to fight the DEP plan. This included a $100,000 salary for PPF Chief Executive Officer Coach Bob Hurley, whose own foundation received at least $250,000 from the Fireman Foundation. The remainder of the $1 million plus included a $250,000 for website design and communications to one Washington, D.C. consulting firm, and almost $150,000 to one New York City PR company, apparently nothing, not a cent for kids anywhere, let alone in Jersey City. The 2022 Form 990s have not yet been released. Basketball Hall of Famer Coach Hurley, a retired probation officer, told the Jersey Journal that he does not believe that the public is interested in such numbers. Ha! We and the Journal beg to differ. In its editorial, the Jersey Journal states simply, the elephant tried to stomp the mice, but it hasn't worked.
The political donations go back further. The 2020 form shows payments to Hudson County politicians, State Senator Union City Mayor Brian Stack, State Senator North Bergen Mayor Sacco, and the Hudson County Freeholder Commissioner, an unpaid member of the PPF's Board of Directors, Jerry Walker. The senators were definitely in position to influence the park's future and later supported fast-tracked legislation to establish an advisory task force on redeveloping Liberty State Park that was initially designed to be heavily stacked with Paul Fireman's friends. There are a few details about Paul Fireman's second funded group, the misleadingly named Liberty State Park for All, which had sent out many emails in support of Fireman's high admission fee, traffic-generating vision, accusing the Friends of Liberty State Park and supporters of the DP plan of racism. But the public has for decades supported a vision of a free, open area with the contaminated interior area long off limits restored for passive recreation. The DEP plan includes venues for informal active recreation in the South area with a community center and open amphitheater overlooking the New York City skyline.
By way of comparison, note that the Friends of Liberty State Park, led by Sam Pessin, son of the park's founder, Morris Pessin, is starting its fiscal year asking for membership donations, with a minimum of $5. The Jersey Journal reports that, according to tax filings, the Friends group has raised some $280,000 over the past 5 years and spends an average of $37,000 a year on activities such as planting trees, flowers, and bulbs, and creating information kiosks for the park. Hessen does not receive compensation for his involvement with the Friends of Liberty State Park organization. If you are honored to tour the park with Sam, as we were last year to report on this story, you'll note that he is known and liked by the park employees, who discuss park gardens and family trips alike. It is clear that Sam is more than a friend. He is a family member at the park.
Is the fight totally over? Likely not. As the Jersey Journal states, and this will sound familiar no matter what state you live in, there will always be other forms of resistance because this is New Jersey. We are protecting public property from the depredation of private interests is an ongoing concern. And while Governor Murphy has finally given his enthusiastic support to the plan, funding could always become an issue for his successor. Park activist Eric Connor was quoted by the Jersey Journal, "I don't think the fight is necessarily over. I think the scales have tilted back toward the public, but I think we still have to be vigilant because there is a lot of money on the table, and when you have sunk that much into a campaign, I think it's going to be really tough for somebody like firemen to back off." And staying vigilant is something activists have to remember.
Meanwhile, the Friends at Liberty State Park provide on their site, www.folsp.org, a schedule of the Summerfest free concerts in Liberty State Park presented by Jersey City Mayor Phillip, Jersey City Cultural Affairs, and Jersey City Free Public Library, Sunday and Tuesday evenings with jazz, Latin, rock, soul, Americana, and more. Certainly something for everyone in the diverse Hudson County City and beyond.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
As we've been reporting on for weeks, Governor Hochul has not signed the Save the Hudson bill to stop Holtec from dumping radioactive wastewater. She hasn't even asked for it. The bill got bipartisan support in both houses of the New York legislature and now nothing yet. Please call Governor Hochul and tell her to ask for the bill and then sign it or not, but take action. We are worried that she will ignore the bill until after Holtec has dumped the radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. This is an opportunity to set a precedent for other states coping with decommissioning reactors. The info we included on past shows about the dangers of tritium was given with this bill in mind. Call the governor and give your opinion about the bipartisan bill to ban the dumping of tritium into the Hudson River. Our number is 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390.
There's a lack of understanding of how harmful radioactive tritium is to our health. The industry lies about it being no big deal, and many otherwise intelligent activists accept that in order to justify dumping radioactive waste into local waterways. The radioactive polluters are trying to convince people that tritium is not harmful. Even some environmentalists are accepting and repeating industry lies. One person said tritium only lasts 12 years. That is the half-life of tritium. It takes 10 to 12 half-lives for the amount of radiation to be statistically zero, not actually zero. We're talking 120, 140 years. Also, it is virtually impossible to separate tritium out of water. Basically, tritium is water with radioactive hydrogen, so it's almost identical to standard water. Tritium is the name given to a form of radioactive hydrogen. Tritiated water is H2O, where at least one of the H's, ordinary non-radioactive hydrogen, is replaced with tritium. That water is now radioactive, but it still behaves like water. It flows, it evaporates, it goes into clouds, it falls as rain, it gets into our bodies. That's why it's so dangerous. We think most of you know not to listen to industry press releases and the people who quote them. But we keep meeting people who quote that PR without questioning it. Look for an upcoming show devoted to this issue. Governor Hochul's number, 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390. 8390.
WBAI, there is no station like it. You tell us that every time we meet with you. We give you content you don't get on other media. Other stations are full of ads. We're not. We don't tell you to buy things you don't need. We're sure you need WBAI. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at WBAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you and some public service announcements.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars, conferences, lobbying efforts. It's all important. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
Two friends of mine, Silver Age comic book artist Gene Cohen and his wife Adrian, moved to Central Florida when they semi-retired. They missed WBAI so much, it was a major reason they moved back to Brooklyn. She said she had no idea how much they'd missed the station until they didn't have it anymore. There's a specialness to WBAI that goes beyond the shows themselves.
We often hear from people who used to listen to WBAI, usually about how they have rediscovered us and appreciate our independence in the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades, not always consistently, but we come back and find good programs.
Some of them are old favorites. Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 21 years. Help us ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you are listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Those of you who are members, please watch out for the upcoming vote. It will be as important to saving the station as it was back in October 2019. If you've donated at least $25 since last July up to June 30th, or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are considered a voting member. There is voting every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. Please send in your $25. This really is your radio station.
The last time you listened to commercial radio, what were they trying to sell you? You who listen to BAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events that they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic.
There was an opportunity a few years ago in October 2019 when producers and listeners met together to save the station from a rogue group from Pacifica that was threatening and almost closed WBAI. The good that came out of that is that we got to meet some of you. Gosh, you guys really are out there. I met listeners who were delighted to meet the voice in person and went on about how valuable Ecologic is and say how much they appreciate us. Always nice to hear. Of course, when you donate to the station, we know you are out there. Also, when you like us on Facebook or send us email, our address is on our website, or come to our events like the recent tour of Governor's Island, or when you come to a rally we tell you about. Tell the call center when you call, you are calling to donate or get a premium or become a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We love those buddies.
Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premium. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our premiums. We're sure you'll find something you want. You can find all our premiums on ecologic.wbi.org. That's ecologic.wbi.org.
Music has always been a powerful educator and motivator for a variety of political and social issues, including environmental issues. Some people forget that or dismiss music's power because it's also fun. As Emma Goldman said, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution. Here is the Walkabout Clearwater Chorus singing They Had a Song.
'1929, union miners walk the line, living lives as bleak and black as the coal dust in their lungs. Up steps a miner's wife, boys, it's time to join the fight. Which side are you on? Was the song that was sung.
They had a song to make their spirits rise. They had a song to
1963, black folks marching to be free, beaten up and thrown into a Ku Klux Southern jail. Freedom singers gave them voice, said for us there is no choice, we shall overcome, we cannot fail.
They had a song, make their spirits rise, they had a song, help them organize, they had a song, keep their eyes upon the rise, it made them strong, they had a song.
1965, Father Hudson's gentle tide, strangled in the poisoned grip of corporation greed. Seeger dreamed of days gone by, we can't let this river die, with a banjo and a sloop, he sowed the seed.
They had a song, to make their spirits rise, they had a song, to help them organize, they had a song, keep their eyes upon the rise, it made them strong.
This song's nearly done, here in Century 21, doesn't mean we put away our banjos and guitars. Many struggles there will be, we'll be needing harmony. Stand up one and all, raise your voices to the stars.
We have a song to make our spirits rise, we have a song to help us organize, we have a song. Keep our eyes upon the prize, it makes us strong. We have a song, we have a song. Make our spirits rise, we have a song. Help us organize, we have a song. Keep our eyes upon the prize, it makes us strong. We have a song, it makes us strong. We have a song.
That was the Walkabout Clearwater Chorus singing They Had a Song.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here in WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Ken Gale.
It's cool to hear about creative solutions that are a win-win. One such category is wildlife crossings. Although more common in Europe, most of those are being constructed in the United States and Canada. According to World Atlas, the idea of a wildlife bridge dates back to 1837 when Richard McFarlane, a Canadian, designed a fishway to bypass a dam at his mill. More wildlife crossings today are land-based. They are highway overpasses designed with greenery and a natural appearance that provide safe passage for animals who are used to crossing the area in which a roadway bisects their habitat.
The animals are not so much crossing roads as taking their usual path to another part of their homeland. The automobile roadway actually crossed their natural pathway. And building these crossings, which can also be tunnels under highway, is a means of removing human-made barriers to animals continuing their everyday life. Fencing is placed along the side of the highway to help them find their way to the overpass or tunnel. Once it becomes a known feature, it's used as a matter of course, avoiding collisions that can be deadly for all parties.
Some of the species benefiting from these protective constructions are endangered sugar gliders, or marsupial, in Australia, pronghorns or mule deer in Wyoming, pangolins in Singapore, where birds are nesting on the wildlife crossings. Blue penguins in New Zealand have tunnels between the ocean and their nests. Red crabs in Christmas Island. Undercrossings are helping turtles in Japan, where underpasses to water sources save both turtles and prevent rail disruptions. Elephant herds are reunited by underpasses in Kenya, monkeys and pumas in Brazil, alligators and panthers in Florida. It's just an amazing number of animals throughout the world are being protected.
To be successful, crossings must match animals' preferences. Grizzly bears, elk, deer, and moose prefer big structures that are open. Cougars and black bears prefer smaller, more constricted crossings with less slice and more cover. According to wildlife biologists, Tony Clevenger, as reported by National Geographic. These preferences are derived from the type of natural habitat in which they evolved, like a forest or a meadow. Washington State, in 2015, began construction on the I-90 Path East project that includes 20 over and underpasses for elk, black bears, mountain lions. It even includes a corridor to restore the natural flow of waterways and reconnect trout to that habitat from which they've been cut off for decades. So cool.
The four-lane Trans-Canada Highway that travels 51 miles through Banff National Park was a hotspot for animal killings before the construction of 30 underpasses and 6 overpasses that cut elk, deer, and other animals' deaths by 80%. Now in Los Angeles, they're building primarily for cougars trapped across the urban Los Angeles from relatives on the opposite side of 10-lane Highway 101, an $87 million construction to provide passage from the Santa Monica Mountains to the Simi Hills of the Santa Susana Range. And near home, Interstate 78 has many overpasses with dense vegetation mimicking the natural forest, saving deer, foxes, raccoons, squirrels, skunks, and other small animals native to New Jersey.
The United States Federal Highway Administration has documented 21 federally listed threatened or endangered animal species for which road mortality is a threat to survival of the species or population. They have high-tech sensing systems that can work for larger animals, though it would seem that a more natural pathway is a simpler and better way to go. Although some 2% of the collisions could still occur, the estimates are that 37,000 deer, 33 humans, and many injuries and automobile damage costs would be saved. Science News magazine suggests that there is another reason to move toward the light.
The recent bipartisan infrastructure law includes $350 million for states to create wildlife crossings. Now through August 1st is time for states to apply for the first round of funds to help animals cross the road. To make sure that these passages can start being built, your governor needs to hear from you, whatever state you're in. Call your governor to express your opinion.
We invite you to call in with your comments and questions. Call in here. The call-in number is 212-209-2877. Now's your time to call, 212-209-2877.
Sunday was a double anniversary.
Yeah.
A double nuclear tragedy anniversary. Both events happened in New Mexico. The very first atomic bomb test was July 16, 1945 in New Mexico. To quote the wonderful organization Beyond Nuclear International, although considered the father of the atomic bomb, J. Robert Oppenheimer soon had regrets, lending to his ouster in a witch hunt. For the millions who have suffered since at Hiroshima and Nagasaki from atomic testing, from the daily fear of a nuclear war, what was unleashed by the Manhattan Project was humanity's greatest collective tragedy.
And again, quoting from Beyond Nuclear International, on July 16, 1979, a dam wall at the Church Rock uranium mill in New Mexico broke, releasing 90 million gallons of liquid radioactive waste and 1,100 tons of solid mill waste into the Pueco River.
Wow.
The event was largely eclipsed by the Three Mile Island nuclear disaster earlier that year, perhaps because its people affected were Navajo. They still live with the effects today, while their suffering has been ignored and forgotten, but not on Ecologic and not among the dinner of Arizona and New Mexico. For more information, we urge you to donate $40 to WBAI and get the DVD of the movie, The River That Harms. It's well-made, well-produced, well-edited, and well-written documentary of what happened that day and what is still happening. Go to ecologic.wbai.org, The River That Harms. And I suspect we have a caller. Michael, do we have somebody call 212-209-2877? Well, now is your time.
Hi, darling. Hello, my dears.
Hello.
I recognize this voice.
It's Judith, and I'm from the Raging Grannies, and I need to know the number of the bill to tell Governor Hochul about not throwing poisons into the waters, not poisoning tritium, you know, stuff. So what bill is that number?
I am looking it up now.
Yeah, I remember it changed numbers at one point.
It changed numbers, yeah.
Sally is usually our rapid response for research.
Honestly, if you mention the Save the Hudson bill, they know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, we've had somebody say, oh, they say, you mean the Hulk, the Holtec bill? Like, yeah, I guess you know it. Why are you calling for it?
Yeah. I got that. I did not mention the stopping Holtec from dumping radioactive waste, but the person I talked to at the governor's office mentioned it. And I said, well, I'm glad to know that you know what this is about. And he's like, oh, of course. Still, the governor hasn't asked for the bill. But the original bill numbers were S5181 and A5338. But the bill number did get changed after that, although I've seen it listed as waiting for the governor. So
post those numbers on the website and report them for sure next week if she hasn't called for it by then.
Thank you, Judith, and thank everybody for calling Governor Hochul and telling her that we need to stop the dumping of the radioactive waste. We don't want the Hudson River to be another River Puerco.
Yeah.
We have another caller. Michael?
212-209-2877. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. This is Angel. You keep moving around, and I'll keep finding you.
Thanks for following us.
On your new time, I hope it's settled. I have a proposal for a unit of measure. I call it EIPM. That has to do with your show, which has the highest EIPM, which is environmental information per minute.
Thank you.
Adopt something like that. Congratulations, and I'll keep listening off air. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Angel, you're wonderful.
a friend of mine who has a radio show, when I was talking to him yesterday, he says, I could never do what you do. I could never get that much information into an hour.
We read it carefully.
One friend of mine who was a regular listener said, you know, you have so much information, I have to listen to the show again. When I first told her, go to the archives if you missed the show, because she was at a meeting and we were on Tuesday evenings. And she said, oh, I don't listen to the radio in the evening. And then suddenly she started listening to the radio all the time because she wanted to hear us again.
And we do have another caller. Michael?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No?
No,
oh.
No.
No.
Oh, okay. No.
Sorry?
Oh, you know what? We should introduce ourselves. We're going to get all these people congratulating us. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And
if you missed the very beginning, I started Ecologic in June 2002. And we've been, as Angel said, we've been all over. But people like him find us. We have based entire shows on questions that Angel gave us and other callers as well. He's a wonderful thinker, and it's really nice that Ecologic and WBAI attract people like him.
He is a fellow member of Radical Elders. We are really trying to shake things up. We've been around a long time. We got a lot of knowledge, and I think we have another caller on the line.
212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Good morning and greetings all. Joe and Randy here checking in.
Hey,
oh,
Joe.
Great. Good morning.
Hey. It's great to hear your voices at a time when my eyes are open. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And if I dare say, it's about time. So yes. I've been listening. I've been checking it out. You guys are doing great. And if everybody who's listening to Ecologic for the first time, this is what you can expect. This is important information. And these are fun people who believe in things, and it's nice to know you. I just wanted and to support you guys this morning.
And we look forward to bringing some of your music and maybe some of your school kids on the air with us.
Well, there's a better chance of that when it's 10 in the morning instead of 6, let me tell you.
This is true.
Thank you.
That's what we're excited about.
That's one way of putting it.
All right, I don't want to take up too much oxygen this morning, but I just wanted to support everyone.
Joel, thank you for calling.
Joel is a great songwriter and a funny parody singer.
Songs of Freedom .org or .com is his website. Songs of Freedom. He's been doing environmental stuff with music for a long time.
And you can hear him on the third Thursday of every month at a club in Queens.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you know what? Guess what? It's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning. For more information, follow the link on our website, www.ecoradio.org. That's ECORADIO.org. In addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics. And the three of us will be at the New York City Friends of Clean Water Zoom meeting this Friday, July 21st. All are welcome. Email NYC Sloop Clubs, NYCSLOOPCLUB @gmail.com for an invitation.
We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org. and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic. No dashes.
Join us next week, Wednesday, July 26th. To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums at ecologic.wbai.org. Become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. Of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment, upkeep, rent, pledging now during the show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without our wonderful engineers. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert. Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for all his tech help.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us Wednesday, July 26th, 10 a.m., or find us on the archives. Check our website for details. And thank you all for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Expensive energy. So
give me the warm power of the sun. Give me the steady flow of warmth. Give me the spirit of living things as they return to me. Give me the restless power of the wind. Give me the
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. When you have back-to-back programs, you have to manipulate and do things and see if you can line everyone up. Thank you so much for tuning in to Ecologic with your wonderful guests at their new time, 10 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. My name is Michael G. Haskins. Thank you for tuning in. Upcoming will be Living for the City with yours truly. Please stay tuned.